It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Sometimes I don't think you appreciate me enough. Take today, for example. I had a great opening. Something that really grinds my gears.
Oh,
but the problem is, I also had another opening that I don't particularly care about, but I knew you would care about. So I'm going to do that one instead of the other one, which I may forget about and we won't ever be able to do it later. Because maybe Amazon will stop showing those terrible commercials. But anyway, I would like to revise my earlier statement vis-a-vis was Oregon super racist in the 60s and 70s? Because I have consulted with people older than me from Oregon.
Okay.
And apparently the answer is abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh.
And Oregon is still pretty racist, but just in the way America is. There's definitely still stuff going on. No, but apparently back in the day, one of the largest sort of in the western side of things conglomerations of the KKK was on the Oregon coast.
Oh my gosh.
And I talked about the Rajneeshis before, although that was a little later, but I also learned that when my mother and her first husband and my sister, who was very little at that point, bought the house that my sister essentially was in as a child until the divorce and everything, it was in a neighborhood where it was literally not allowed for a non-white family to purchase a house. And my mother riled up a bunch of other people in the neighborhood and eventually got that changed. No non-white person did ever buy a house there, at least not during the time they were there. But it was technically allowable at that point. So yeah, apparently Oregon was pretty fucked up back in the day. So
wow.
Yeah, I was not aware. Interesting. Yeah, and then I got a long story about how it was currently and got descriptions of that. And I'm like, yeah, that's just America. Like the one good thing to come out of the 2016 election was it was a big eye opener for a lot of us that this country is really fucking racist, like way more than we realized. Because a bunch of people were like, oh, I can stop being quiet about it. So
well, I sometimes wonder how quiet they ever were. You know, the internet has had racist stuff on it since the beginning.
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing is pre-2016, I'm like, yeah, it's just weird little basement dwelling trolls on the internet.
Yeah, I suppose, right.
And then it was like, oh no, it's a ton of people. It's your neighbors. It's your relatives. It's all sorts of folks.
Yeah, weird.
It's some celebrities that you wouldn't have expected. But anyway.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world. Oh, I had a good one. I already lost it. I don't know. We're probably the only one in the world. Something. I had a whole thing about how, like, we care more than other podcasts because you're not just the faceless thousands or millions that listen. You're one of like five people who we personally know, and also Maggie. who's probably our favorite because she's the only one who arguably isn't listening out of pity. And I was going to talk about how, like, those people would, if you tried to approach them, they would probably hire people, get restraining orders against you or whatever. But us, like, if you called us in the night and wanted us to help you hide a body, like, I wouldn't do it, but I would make William do it. But see, that's not very good. And I came up with a much better, more succinct one, and I've already forgotten it. So I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 647.
You know I don't listen to you when you say the episode numbers.
Yeah.
It's not on purpose. I just realized this over time because when I'm processing it afterwards, I frequently have to go and look up what it was. And I'm like, you just told me. But for those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People used to write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with stuff that they wanted us to have to talk about. And the hat was apparently on their side and would forward the emails to us, and then we'd have to talk about them until we got tired of talking about them. But I don't think we got any right now. We're live, so William is checking the phones periodically. For any new donations to come in. Remember, above $50, you get a tote bag. So, that's the show normally. But instead, we're just going to fucking whatever. How's your week been, mister? Do you only have one headphone on?
Well, it's there.
The lighting is such that it just looks like there's just one, but you don't have any ear on that side either, so I don't know.
What if I want to yield... What if I want to yield my time to the segment, you know what grinds my gears? What if I want to yield my time to that?
I may even tell you, but it's not that good.
But that's one of our best segments.
Yeah. I just. So there's this Amazon commercial going.
Okay, good. What grinds your gears? Shouldn't you start it with like, you know what grinds my gears?
Yeah, the problem is this is a bit I stole from an episode of Family Guy, and I'm not super happy about that.
Okay, never mind that.
So, but no, there's this Amazon commercial. I don't remember what the song is. There's a very iconic love song playing also in this commercial. But the basic premise is to a couple... have a fight, and one of them storms out. And there's no dialogue, there's no audible dialogue. It's just the music going on. And I believe both of them, in some capacity, get on Amazon and basically see like old purchases that they made in happier times. Or like suggestions that make them think of the other one.
Sure.
And then they like the end of a rom-com, and they like meet each, like, ugh. And I'm just like, Amazon, this is gross. Absolutely gross.
And it's pretty gross.
And it's definitely portrayed as like a romantic thing. Like, oh, remember when we bought that? And it's things like some dress or whatever. If they got like legit, if they're like, oh, look, remember when we bought that drum of lube? Yeah, that was a hell of a weekend. Like something like that, then maybe I'd be like, that's funny. But no. And of course it's not. Amazon's like, hey, you need more Swiffer refills? Like that's not what this particular, that's what it comes up on when I'm on Amazon. But for these people, it's like, oh, I need more, you know, sexy dress. It never reminds me of the sexy dresses I purchased. So, yeah, it just annoys me. But I did, when talking to my sister the other day, was Oregon racing? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, really? So then I got to hear all these stories. But how was you?
I mean, that's just... it's just school stuff.
So you didn't watch any major motion pictures?
No. We're watching the show. It's from the History Channel. It's about food, about the different how different foods were developed in the early, usually like the 19th century and stuff. It's pretty interesting. But like, no, we haven't been watching any movies at all. We've been watching
the new one or the old ones?
No, we never watched the original. So
me neither.
We probably will watch the new ones, but we like Timothy Oliphant quite a bit. And we just I can't believe we never watched his big show. And it's good.
Well, that was his breakout show, at least for me. When that was out there, I didn't know who he was.
No.
And also, just in general, it doesn't look like my kind of show. But then it went on and went on, and I got to see him in other things, and I'm like, I really like him. So yeah, I've frequently been thinking, like, I should go back and watch that. But
I mean, I agree, it's not your kind of thing, but you sometimes like just seeing good performances or actors you like doing their thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, his isn't the only good performance in there.
And at the time, it was a show that's not my kind of thing, starring a person I've never heard of. So that's why I didn't watch it originally.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, that person I had never heard of is a Timothy Oliphant. Now I'm interested.
And the other guy's name is, I want to say Goggins.
Oh, Walton Goggins is in that?
Yeah.
Huh? I'm currently watching him on Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, is he in that?
He plays Uncle Baby Billy.
Well, he's really good in this. Like, ridiculous.
He's really good in everything.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Walton Goggins is one of those character actors that we don't give enough credit to. He's really good. And he has tremendous dramatic and comedic range.
But I mean, I don't know if plot-wise it would resonate with you at all, but the performances, those two especially, really good. And the writing's quite good, very clever. So we're watching it and really enjoying it. And it's like six seasons, but they're only 13 episodes apiece.
Yeah.
You know, we saw the City Primeval thing, right? And we're like, oh, that's got Timothy Oliphant on it. We should watch that. And then we thought, well, why would we watch this new Justified thing?
The sequel one. Yeah.
But we've never watched the original, even though we've liked him for a long time. Why don't we just try to watch it? So we have been. It's quite good. I mean, to us, but it is kind of our thing. The plot and everything. It's the kind of thing we would watch anyway, but with him in it So Goggins kind of plays his foil in the whole thing. It's just those two, it's one of the best protagonist antagonist pairings I've ever seen in anything. It's really good.
Goggins is a tremendous rival or villain or things. The second Ant-Man movie notwithstanding. Have you started Secret Invasion?
We did see a couple of those. I don't think we're going to finish it.
All right. I think that's wise. I just knew because of Abby's love of Emilia Clarke, you might. But now that it's done, and I didn't ever plan to see it, but I was like, well, how was it? Apparently not good.
Yeah, I'm not hearing very good things about it.
Specific things that I think would piss me off, but also just in general, not a good show.
Most of the things I've heard since we watched the first couple episodes or whatever, all of those problems were in like the very first one or two episodes. So whatever, if you start watching and you're like, this isn't very good, I hope this gets better. No, that's pretty much going to be the whole thing, whatever you see in the first two episodes. And if you don't like the first episode or two, that's just more of the rest of it's just more of that. So what's the point?
I am down to two MCU things. And I'm reserving judgment on the Marvels. The Marvels looks good, but I'll wait till it comes out and see what people say. I might not bother. I might wait till it's on Disney Plus, but I think I'll watch that. And I'm going to watch the second season of Loki. Because it looks fun. It's got Ke-Huy Quan in it. I enjoyed the first season, so I'll watch that. But that's about it.
Yeah, we'll probably watch Loki too.
But I did. I watched a lot of movies actually this week.
Tell me all about them.
Well, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, how was it? Because
it dropped on Disney Plus. I can't remember. Have you seen it?
No, it's on Disney Plus now.
It is now on Disney Plus. That's why I saw it.
Oh my gosh, I'm kind of surprised.
I still have not been to a theater. Although, tonight, I will be going to a movie theater for the first time since COVID.
Wow.
With my wife and with the entire neighbor family. Mm. We're going to go see the Barbie movie. Wow. Some of us more excited than others.
Well, which one are you?
I think I'm pretty solidly in the middle. I want to see it, but I would have been fine waiting. I'm not like, oh, I got to see it now. But I do want to see it, and I'm happy to go see it. It does seem like a weird one to break the seal on movie theaters, but mm-hmm. it's also fun to be able to. It's one of those rare ones that, like, that whole family will go see it. Some of them are sort of grudgingly doing it, but yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. But yeah, saw the third Guardian. So you haven't seen the third Guardian.
Mm-mm. No, I will now that it's on Disney Plus, but I didn't even know it was on Disney Plus.
I can't remember. Did you watch the holiday special?
No.
I would recommend watching that first. Well, first of all, it's good. The holiday special is good.
Oh, okay.
Surprisingly so. And yeah, it's a good time. Highlights include Kevin Bacon playing Kevin Bacon, being kidnapped by Drax and Mantis as a present for Peter, and some aliens writing a song about Christmas who clearly haven't quite figured out how Christmas works, but they wrote a song and it kind of slaps. But there's also characters that originally appear in the holiday special that show up in this movie. I'm not saying it would ruin it without it, but it's just a good reference point kind of thing. But also it's good. I don't know. I thought I needed, or not needed, but would appreciate a sense of closure. The trilogy of the Guardians movies.
Yeah.
The first two Guardians movies are some of my favorite MCUs. Not the favorites, but they're up there. I enjoyed them. And I thought this is a good sort of wrap up to things or whatever, and this would be nice. And I didn't need to. It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
As all of these aren't. I have opinions on it. I don't know that my opinions matter, which is a weird ass thing to say on a podcast. I mean, gun to my head, I got two comments, and they're both criticisms.
James Gunn?
No, but don't even. No. But anyway,
gun to your head.
I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying one of the two problems I had was James Gunn.
No, you said gun.
Which I'm like, with one end. Sorry, you couldn't hear it. I only was saying one end.
Oh, okay.
It's tonally a mess, which is a problem Guardians has had before.
Mm.
It wants to the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are some of the silliest MCU movies. But then they also try and deal with serious shit. And so you get whiplash going between scenes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about, like, this is a very difficult one, but I feel like they went too hard on the soundtrack this time. That's always been a Guardians thing, you know, the classic rock stuff or whatever. This time we had needle drops, like, every fucking scene to the degree that it would, like, take me out of it.
Mm.
I was like, oh, we're doing this now. And we also have, because, you know, before it was sort of time frames. Fuck it now. We had some Florence and the Machine in there. Like we have gone beyond, you know, classic rock stuff. We had all, but just constant well-known needle drops throughout. And I'm just like, it feels desperate and it makes me focus on the fact that you're doing that rather than the story. I will say, and I mean, this happens for all sorts of things, but if you know and are a fan of the character of Adam Warlock, act as though Adam Warlock is not in this movie and you will feel better.
Mm.
Will Poulter is an actor that I am growing to appreciate, and he does a great job in this. And for the character they created in this movie, he was a very good casting choice. he has nothing to do with the character of Adam Warlock. And I barely knew anything about that character, and I already was pretty sure this wasn't accurate. And then later I looked it up and I'm like, oh God, no. The primary villain of this is Wasted as usual. But it's, I need to look up this guy. He's a villain in a lot of things, and I can just watch him chew scenery for hours. He's amazing. All the performances are great. There's a few slightly more than cameos in some places that are kind of fun, but overall, whatever. I don't know. It's an MCU. It's an MCU movie, and I don't need those anymore. I will also say that the romantic tensions in the movie, I thought, ended in a believable way that almost never happens in this kind of movie. So I did appreciate that. So I guess that's a good thing. But, you know, I had a lot of other opinions I don't think of. But yeah, I would recommend the holiday special for it. It's not that long, and it's just fun, and yeah, it's a good time. And it also, a lot of the characters are different at the very start of this one compared to the second one, just in general sort of attitude. And the holiday special bridges that sort of transformation in some of the cases. Oh. Like Nebula has shown a lot of growth. And I think a lot of that would feel very jarring in this if you didn't see the holiday special. But I don't know. Anyway, what else did I see? I've already forgotten. Sorry, I just got a text here of somebody saying they're going to be late.
That would be me.
I don't really want to talk about that video game. I just want to talk about movies. All right. We finally, so this is a thing nowadays. A movie comes out in the theaters, and then it comes out available for purchase to spend like $20 on it.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a new step, which is then it's available only on a specific streaming service. And so if you don't have it, you're going to be stuck for extra long time before you can watch it, which is like why it took so long for us to see the D&D movie, because Paramount Plus had it. So it was either $20 or Paramount Plus, and I was like, no, thank you. And now finally we can watch it for less. So one of these that has been sitting there that we've been curious about for a long time was the horror movie X that came out, I want to say, last year. And it also had a prequel right afterward called Pearl, because it turns out they filmed them at the same time. Yeah. And it's Ty West, and it's Brittany Snow, Jenna Ortega. I think those are the prime names that we know from it. But we had been eager to see it, and we finally did.
What'd you think of it? Did you just see X or did you see Pearl also?
We haven't seen, I think I will probably see Pearl on my own, but maybe not. Because X was a very mixed bag. And I think though, X has finally crystallized for me how I feel about Ty West.
Oh.
Which is a thing, because Ty West movies are very successful and look really good. And I watch them and I'm like, I didn't enjoy that. And I couldn't really figure out why, except like sort of that I was bored.
Well, what are the other movies, Ty West movies?
House of the Devil was a big one.
I saw that.
There's an earlier one. He's a very celebrated horror director at this point. House of the Devil is big. House of the Devil had Tom Noonan, who I love. I was like, and what I figured out, the film craft in them is very good. They look very good. They are very atmospheric. Their stories are boring, cliched, nothing burgers.
Wow, that's too bad.
And I mostly watch horror films for the story.
Well, yeah. I mean, you watch things that are
a really lot of low budget. Don't.
really low budget, but if it's got a good lore, good story, you love it.
Good twists, shit like that. These are like, I mean, House of the Devil. I mean, I guess spoilers, but lady shows up to a creepy house to do babysitting, and it's creepy, and it turns out that the people are bad, and people get murdered. This one,
not very
people go out to film a porno at an old out there farm that they're renting a guest house from an old guy, and it turns out that there's bad things and people get murdered, and like there's not any like sinister supernatural elements, there's not even like explanations, it's just like some people are awful and here they are doing that. They're also incredibly slow burns. In an hour and a half, 2 hour movie, you're going to be an hour in before you get a single kill. They are very slow, which can be fine sometimes, but I don't know. We immediately checked the trailer for Pearl right after we watched X. And of course, it's going to be a trilogy. The third one is called Maxine, spelled with three X's. That's I've seen the teaser for. Pearl, the trailer for Pearl looks really good. So did the trailer for X. So, I don't know. We'll see. But we paid a couple bucks for this. Now there's an embarrassing one. So, we saw the 1944 movie Gaslight.
Oh, you know what's funny? I was just talking to someone about that yesterday.
Have you seen it?
I mean, if I have, it was so long ago, you know, like when I was a kid or something. No. When I was growing up, they showed old movies. In daytime TV, they showed old movies like every day. And Mom would watch them. And I think we watched, I can't remember all the ones we saw.
The shitty thing about this one is it's been on Max for ages. Mm. And so it's been in our list and we were going to watch it. But we never got around to it. And last night we finally did. And it's not there anymore. And we hunted around and found out there's a different movie called Gaslight from 1940 that's a comedy, and it's actually called Fanny by Gaslight, but in this day and age, I don't think they like saying that. So it was just, and it kept being confused about which one it was. So there were several like free streaming services that we installed and we tried to watch it. Not the same movie. Whatever. So finally we were like, fuck it. Apple TV Plus will let us rent it for $3. And we were frustrated at that point, so we're like, we'll do it. For those of you not familiar with this movie, it is the film from which the term gaslighting, I don't want to say it was coined. That term isn't in here, but this is a movie about gaslighting and also about gaslight, because it takes place in the late 19th century. And that is where people later came up with the term gaslighting. It is also the first movie performance of Angela Lansbury. It also stars Ingrid Bergman, which is still just amazing to watch, because I'm just like, that's Isabella Rossellini. Like, it sounds like her. It looks like her. Just Isabella Rossellini. It's really funny to see Angela Lansbury, though, because she plays the maid, and it has a very heavy Cockney accent, and it's just, and she's so young, and it's just, it's fascinating. She does a tremendous job. Everybody in it does a tremendous job. And there's lots of other names that were big names for the time. It's awful. It's a very good movie. It is a very well-made movie. I was physically nauseated the entire 2 hour run. It is such a textbook case of gaslighting and manipulation in ways that I am disgusted that there was a film that so obviously and directly and explicitly showed this behavior. And like, it's not like we're reanalyzing it later. Like, that was the intention of the film. That was like, it's not subtle. At one point I paused and I'm like, we're supposed to know he sucks, right? Like, this isn't like, I know because I kind of know what the story's about already, but like, It's also really obvious to us out here, but it's so dead on. And this is from 1944. Mm-hmm. And yet this exact kind of behavior happens constantly throughout all levels of society since then to this very day. And a lot of people don't acknowledge it or try and apologize. Like, it's the fact that we clearly understood it so well in 1944 and yep. no progress has been made in 2023 is awful. And it's just so. Apparently this director is fucking insane. Trish knows this director and he went on and did a bunch of other stuff too. And he is like, he gets a vision and he makes it. And this thing is unrelenting. And it's just a story of a married couple, or actually a couple who fall in love and get married. And then he just systematically fucks her up for reasons that I won't spoil at this point. Although some of them are, again, kind of obvious, but like, isolates her from people, makes her think she's crazy, makes her think everything is her fault. At the point where she seems about to break and rebel, then he does something nice, but then he very quickly makes it so that she ruins the nice thing somehow. And it's just so awful. It's really uncomfortable watch.
Yeah, and it's
such obviously a weird thing to say for a 1944 black and white movie with no gore, no violence, like none of that.
And this idea wasn't, you know, created by this storyteller. You know, obviously this is a thing that was happening out in the culture that they portrayed in a film. So, you know, this is a thing. I mean,
all has been done about it.
I think
it's still remarkably effective techniques to ruin people's lives.
Right. I think you can find other stories that are much older that, you know, show people doing the same thing. I mean, even if you read The Prince, you know, there's a lot of things in there that sort of lend itself to that way of thinking that would lead someone to do this kind of thing. So, you know, for most of human history, this has been a thing that people knew how to do and did do to each other. But that film came sort of the cultural touchstone for, well, here's what it looks like in the 20th century, basically. And that is how it has looked, you know, at least since that time.
I do need to say there are some pretty serious plot holes and or coincidences that strain credibility in places. The entire there's obviously a side plot of somebody trying to help her, because it would be weird if there wasn't. And what kicks that off is fairly, like, that character's motivations don't really make sense, at least to me. Like, with zero evidence, somebody else is immediately like, there's something not right here. And, like, is really dogged in chasing it down. And happens to be correct, but I'm like, based on the things, I know that as the viewer.
Yeah.
But based on the things you've experienced, it's kind of crazy that you're doing. There's also some places, and some of it's the time period, but even for the time period, there is, especially in the early part, dialogue that I'm just like, in no time period did humans talk like that. a couple of places. But overall, it's good, and you get very wrapped up in it very quickly. And performances all around are amazing. Oh, I should also say, there are aspects to the gaslighting that are like major things that mess with the female leads, with Ingrid Bergman's head, that it turns out were things that were done for practical un-gaslighting related reasons, but just also happened to contribute very heavily and that's never addressed. It's just later you're like, oh, all of this stuff is to make her seem as crazy. Oh no, that was for other reasons unrelated, but by happy coincidence for the villain, it also contributed heavily to making her think she was crazy. And I'm like,
sure.
Really? That's a little, but, and so I can't ignore those sort of moments, but, very good film, very, very engrossing film, very well done, well performed. Just the worst. Just
Are there moments of attempts to gaslight in like Shakespeare? I feel like there's some moments in Shakespeare where someone tries to convince another person that what they think or perceived was they're crazy, or you know, they don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And I mean, I guess in a way, Hamlet, right? Like he thought.
Yeah. There Although was something. Hamlet also kind of goes crazy, but
well, right.
This is a difficult thing, and actually, there was a great video sketch I watched one time about nobody knows what gaslighting means.
Yeah, they use it in context that it doesn't really belong.
Well, the common one is you're gaslighting me equals you're lying
to you're
me.
Just lying, right?
Yes, which,
no, nope.
And I think your perspective is a crazy one. Is also not gaslighting. I mean, it can be, depending, but in general, if you said, I think the earth is flat, and I'm like, you're crazy, I'm not gaslighting you.
No.
I'm genuinely saying, that's the opinion of a crazy person.
But there are also legitimate opinions that these days people do say, well, if you believe that, you might as well believe that the earth is flat. The two things are not equivalent at all. And that is a little bit gaslighting,
I don't know if I would call that gaslighting.
Well, it isn't, but you're getting there when you start accusing someone of being crazy when they have a legitimate opinion.
But it's mostly manipulating somebody to think their memory and perceptions is inaccurate.
Exactly. And that's what gaslighting is.
There's a lot of obvious ones in this there. And it amazes me again, because I don't think of stuff being this like this back in the day. But this, in this 1944 movie, there are such interesting, subtle ones. This is one that always has driven me crazy in my own life. And I have both been the victim of it and probably done it to people. Although maybe not intentionally. I hope not intentionally. I don't know. I was a terrible person when I was younger. This idea where somebody, you say something to me. And later in our argument, discussion, whatever, I reiterate that to you or restate that to you in a way that is sort of accurate, but sort of not, and sounds way worse.
Right.
But it's just sort of a way of phrasing it. So you can't be like, that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also not actually what you said.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great version in this where the husband's accusing her of something and she's like, I didn't do this, and she's like, we're not the only ones in the house, there's servants here too, and so he goes and gets the servants and makes them swear they didn't do it or whatever, and all this, and then later he's like, you're the one who threw suspicion on the servants, and now you're, and I'm like, she didn't actually, but she also did, like, you suck, like, it's a real gut wrencher for me.
Another example that's not completely technically gaslighting, but it is trying to get a person to doubt their own thoughts about things, is when someone is cheating and the person starts to catch on and they say, oh, you're just being paranoid, you're just being crazy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's technically gaslighting is you legitimately want the person to have a nervous breakdown or something. This is just you lying to get, you know, you just want them to stop questioning and whatever, but it is still questioning, they're trying to get them to question their perceptions and sanity and things like that. So that's also,
I would almost put that in
solidly in
I would call that gaslighting, I think, but I'm aware that it's on the edge and it is a gray area that has been defined, but it's deliberate attempts to make people question their own perspective. And in my opinion, that is the situation. I don't want you to think this is a sign that I'm cheating on you. I very deliberately want you to think I'm being paranoid, or I'm misremembering, or I'm doing confirmation bias. I'm wanting you to question your own observations and conclusions.
Yeah.
Deliberately to put you off the scent of what's happening. To me, that kind of qualifies. But it is interesting. Years ago, I read an article that was like, here's a bunch of language that is used when gaslighting somebody, but the use of this language does not equate to gaslight. Because there's lots of, nowadays, because it's like a buzzword and stuff, people want to be like, oh, you're gaslighting me. And sometimes, often, a lot of times, actually, they're not gaslighting you, but they're still being shitty. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't have to be gaslighting to be awful and horrible and unfair and abusive in some cases.
Well, I had a,
like, gaslighting is just a very specific variety of those things.
Right. I had a conversation with a person who was accusing someone of gaslighting.
Yeah.
And what they were basing it on was that what the person said, the reality that the person put forth, that the person believed, okay, made them feel like they were crazy. Nope, that's not gaslighting either. This person isn't trying to make you crazy. This person is asserting a reality that they believe. They believe it. And you don't believe that reality. And but because they're so forceful and they're so, you know, they believe it so strongly, it makes you question your own beliefs. Okay, but they're not gaslighting you. That's just, here's a person with a very strong personality, very strong views, and it makes you question your own views, but that's not what gaslighting is either.
Now, again, if you're in a situation where I'm like, I'm pushing this belief, I am asserting it again and again intentionally because I know it's going to make you think you're crazy, then it's maybe gaslighting.
Yeah.
But if it's no, this is just what I believe, the fact that that flips you the fuck out.
Well, or even if
not the person... only not gaslighting, but maybe not my problem.
But also,
depending on what the belief is.
Another thing this person used to say, well, it's gaslighting because the reason they're being so forceful in expressing this belief is because they want me to believe it. It's like, no.
I mean, again, it can be in the way it can be done potentially, but
right. But if this person,
and that's more almost charlatanism in case. But and again, not gaslighting. It's a different type of manipulation.
It's coercion. They're coercing you. They're
but again, that assumes that they are trying to push their belief on you, which is not the same thing as expressing a belief.
I guess that's right. That's right. But it's not gaslighting. No. Just because it makes you feel crazy or like you doubt your beliefs, what they're intending and what they think and believe is part of it. You have to take that into account. You can't just. Yeah.
And especially if it's open. If I'm like, William, I believe the earth is flat.
Right.
Let's have a conversation.
Yeah, right.
In which I am going to attempt to persuade you that the earth is flat.
Right, right.
If I say some shit that you're like, oh my God, is it? Like, that's not me gaslighting you. That's me having persuaded you. At least
being
somewhat,
very persuasive. Yeah.
And right. You not liking the fact that you were persuaded.
Right.
But it's not gaslighting.
No. It's a word people like to throw around, boys.
They really do, which is a problem.
It is kind of.
It's replacing. I, and this is a hard one. I don't. Abuse is real. Abuse is prevalent. Abuse takes many, many forms and is very often not recognized. However, I have in my lifetime encountered people, quite a lot of people in different aspects of my life and in different walks of life, who like to basically accuse people of abuse anytime they're doing or saying things they don't like.
Right. Yep.
And I feel like gaslighting has stepped in to fill some of the shoes. And again, gaslighting is a real thing that people do to this day. It's part of why this movie made me so uncomfortable. But I feel like it's another thing where some people are like, oh, you're lying to me, or you're disagreeing with me, or you're trying to convince me I'm wrong. You're gaslighting. Nope. In the same way that it's like, oh, you're disagreeing with me, you don't want to help me with this, or you won't lend me money or whatever. That's abuse. Same deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's... And how weird that, like, people die on that hill. Like, if it's either gaslighting or I'm wrong. No, they can be doing other shitty things to you.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's not that shitty thing.
Right.
It's like sort of getting in a debate over whether or not, I don't know, like was it attempted murder or what? Like it's the same thing. It's like, there are lots of crimes. It could be not this particular one, and they could still have done criminal acts against you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that like when I was talking to my friend, after a while, I think they started to think I was saying this person didn't do anything wrong. It's like, well, no, they did something wrong.
Yeah.
They just didn't do that thing wrong.
And then it becomes silly because it's like, this conversation's not about gaslighting. Essentially having a semantic argument with you. If you had just presented this horrible thing and not used that term, I'd be sitting here being supportive and sympathetic and all this, and we wouldn't be having this, frankly, external and unnecessary debate over the label.
There's a reason, though. I think because people sort of, in a way, people rank the badness of things, right? And gaslighting is considered far worse than any other kind of coercion. Or whatever. So to them, it you are downgrading what the person did, and then I start to look like the gaslighter, right? Because I'm trying to convince them that it's not gaslighting.
I mean, just props to you. I have never had somebody come to me and be like, this person's gaslighting me. Just props to you for not just being like, what? You're crazy. Like, just out of the gate. I am confident I could not do that. Even if I immediately was like, I'm just kidding. Tell me. Like I don't think I could resist.
That's good.
Being like, or to be like, who's that? What? I don't know who that person is. What are you talking about?
You're complaining about your mom. Your mom died 10 years ago. What are you talking about?
It is very interesting. Our villain in this movie, he, again, performances are impeccable in this film. And he does a lot of, like, you see him adjusting in real time. And situations where, like, he'll make a ploy and it doesn't work and things are about to, and you'll see him be like, oh, wait. And he'll say or do a new thing. And suddenly he's got her again. And it's very interesting in that way. Like, there was one time where, like, I'm like, oh, shit, she's catching on. This is a problem. And he just was like, that thing wasn't real. I remember you standing there talking about nothing. And I was, but I didn't think it was that big a deal at the time. And it works. And I was just like, damn, that's a Hail Mary pass right there. But it just in the moment, he was like, yeah, I remember you mentioning that before, but there was nothing in your hand when you said that. And I'm like,
so do you remember at what point in your life it occurred to you that a person an evil person could convince a person they were crazy? Like, I don't remember when it was. I must have been in high school or something. Something happened that made me stop and go, oh gosh, you know, it would be pretty easy for like a group of people in my school, say, to kind of conspire to convince a person that things are true that aren't true, and then like really kind of mess them up. And then when I got to college, and I took some classes in sociology and psychology, and there were actual cases like that. It's like, wow, yeah, this is something that can really happen. Do you remember when that occurred to you, that was a thing people could do? Because I know there was definitely a time in my life where it never occurred to me that one person would deliberately try to make another person like have a nervous breakdown. But at some point, I think it was late in high school, it suddenly occurred to me that that was a thing that people could do and do successfully.
The short answer, no.
I can't remember exactly either, but
I have some prospective options. Because, I mean, to the degree that I could like articulate it,
yeah,
that's a thing, maybe as recently as a few years ago. Like maybe when the term gaslighting came into vogue.
Really?
specifically. I don't know if somebody had asked me, like, do you think somebody could do some shit and deliberately make people think they're crazy? I'd be like, yeah, it doesn't come up. But here's the thing. I have a pretty serious fear of being unfairly committed as insane.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I say I have a pretty serious fear. I don't go around worrying that people are going to do that to me, but like things that like movies and TV shows about that trigger me pretty seriously.
Interesting.
And the place that I can most remember this coming from, and the place that I remember thinking to myself, I never realized, but this is a serious deal for me.
Hmm.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Really?
Huh. There's an episode in which Riker, they try and convince him that the Enterprise and the Federation and all that is in his imagination. These aliens have him.
Mm.
And it turns out the whole thing was fake. And it's very tied into, he's currently in a play that they're putting on the ship. And this is part of the reality. They actually are a play in which he plays a locked up lunatic of some sort.
Mm.
And so in the experience, he has a lot of like, he'll be doing the play and then suddenly the cell that's the stage is now four walls and stuff like that. And I remember the thing that really sticks to me for some reason, because it's Next Generation. It's not Patrick Stewart, notwithstanding, there's not a lot of like drama that really swells the feelings in your hearts kind of thing too much.
Right.
In that.
Right.
But I remember the end of that. And he's brought back, and we're like, the resolution we're going to have where we do the opening credits and the little orchestral thing and we're done is, after it's over, he goes to where the play was happening, and basically he says, I want to strike the set on my own. And so the rest of them leave, and he like very cathartically like just rips it apart, and it really was very emotional to me. Huh. And again, this is, keep in mind, this is all from the perspective of like, what was I, maybe 12 or something like that. So a lot of this may have been adjusted. If you all go watch the episode now, it may not hold up like that, but that was one. Buffy also had one of those.
Hmm.
The really interesting thing about the Buffy episode is it's technically never resolved.
Oh.
It ends with you know which choice she makes, which reality she chooses to embrace, but it never technically resolves if she just embraced the fantasy or if she woke up from the false.
See, I think my experience must have been similar, where at some point, I think every person as they grow up has to come to this realization at some point, and I just can't remember the specific place, but at some point I must have realized that so much of what we take for granted is reality, we don't really know. And it depends on everybody else kind of agreeing with us. And if suddenly everybody didn't agree with us, it almost wouldn't matter what we think we're experiencing with our own senses. We're going to, you know, there's going to be a problem there in it. So I don't know what the experience I had were that made me realize that. But again, I think it was somewhere in high school. And then when I was in college, because I was taking psychology classes, and sociology classes, they talked about this very thing. And that sort of reinforced what I'd already sort of figured out. But, you know, I know there was a time before that when that wouldn't even occur to me, that, you know, someone could like plot to make a person have a nervous breakdown or something. And then suddenly I realized, no, that could happen.
But this is potentially the distinction. This is possibly why this concept of gaslighting is something that I've only recently used, because I'm realizing now what I've described is not gaslighting.
No.
I mean, it is to a degree, but it's not where my fear is. My fear is not outside influences will make me think I'm crazy.
Right.
My fear is society will determine I am crazy,
mm-hmm.
and imprison me for my own protection.
Right, right, right.
And I am scared of how easily somebody could deliberately falsify that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that, I mean, does terrify me. And it's why the trailer for that Steven Soderbergh movie from a couple of years ago, Unwell or whatever, literally the trailer gave me nightmares for days. Wow. And in fact, to this day, when I think it's a very specific shot, because she is tricked to signing. She's there for a therapy session or whatever in this asylum, and she signs a form, unknowingly signing herself up for a 48-hour observation or whatever. And a staff person is just like, "Will you come with me?" And she thinks she's signing more forms or whatever. And she goes in this room, and the door closes, and it's like junk. And she goes and pulls on it, and she can't get out. And the orderly is like, "Will you strip down to your underwear and put this on?" Like, just right now, it makes my butthole clench up. Yeah. Like, it's so awful.
Yeah, that is awful.
It's so terrifying. And I should say, it is arguably not the most fucked up thing about that plot. Like, that's just establishing the premise. Then it gets much worse. So I never plan to see that movie. For a variety, it's also one of those that's like really, it's one of those like scary horror thriller movies where it's like, also that would never happen. So it's extra sensationalist, and not that part I could see happening, unfortunately. But the other things that happen later, I'm just like, no. But and that one actually involves a lot of gaslighting, because some shit goes down and no one will believe her later.
I think what went along with whatever this realization was that I had was also realizing that there are a lot of behaviors that a person can exhibit that are just eccentric, but that some people will categorize as, you know, crazy. Like, I think I also realized that there were a lot of diagnoses, or there were a lot of justifications people had for, like you said, institutionalizing people, that when I heard what the justification was, I thought to myself, that doesn't seem like a good justification to take away someone's liberty. I mean, they're a little weird, or they're a little odd.
Well, and classically, I mean, this is the thing, because nowadays it is much harder to get someone committed against their will. There has to be real proof of danger to oneself and others. And there are times where I'm like unhappy about that, because there are people who I'm like, I really think they probably should be put away. I think they are a danger to themselves and others, but it's so hard to prove. But then I remember how it was in the past, and there are movies like this. And like, for a long time in Western society, it was, if you can get two doctors to agree, it's done. I wonder if I could find two lazy or corrupt or stupid doctors.
Yeah.
I'll bet I could.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And I mean, when you add into this the quality of life for people in asylums, even now, but especially if you go back into the 19th century or early 20th century, I mean, huge reforms had to happen there. And that's, even now, it's not great. Yeah, that stuff freaks me out really bad. But also, this is a thing I've been pondering. Sensitivity. By which I mean, I think, emotional sensitivity. I think I'm very sensitive. And here's the thing. This is a term that in this context usually comes up in a couple of forms. One being, I'll do the common trope version of it. My child is a shithead. And when people say, your child's a shithead, I'm like, he's very sensitive. So he acts out. Things like this.
Okay.
Which, what the fuck ever. Or the version where I'm saying it and I'm like, I'm very sensitive. I can pick up on these things. I'm the extreme version is, I'm kind of an empath.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I don't mean either of those. Because I think that is some hubristic bullshit on parent and subject respectively. But I do genuinely think I, for example, have a much stronger emotional reaction to most things compared to most people. And only recently in the last few years, and particularly dealing with a lot of my own mental health things, have I been able to isolate that that is my thing, and that it is my problem. It's not, society doesn't need to do shit about it. I have to figure out how to function, and it's, and you can hear it now because, Trish will still talk about it. I mean, and this is, she's only known me since I've been medicated, but in my younger days, we'd have, like, I'd be with my friends or whatever, and there'd be some argument or somebody would tease me or something, and I would lose my shit and, like, full on tantrum and storm off like a child. And even now, like, when we talk about a lot of movies and TV shows that I don't watch because they're bummers.
Yeah.
Some of the bummers are just like, that person's being a real jerk. And like, and in life, like, to a certain degree, I'm much more socially isolated than I used to be. And part of it is I'm just like, I don't want to, people are mean to people. And I don't. Including me, because I'll do it, and then I will spend days feeling horrible about something I said that the person I said it to has already forgotten. And it's like, I mean, I wasn't kidding. I had a cheaty stomach ache, as we call it. I was cheaty from The Good Place.
Oh yeah,
like that's a term we use now where something gives me a cheaty stomach ache.
Okay.
I genuinely like had an unsettled stomach the whole time we were watching that movie. Like physically uncomfortable. And I mean, it wasn't just me. Like Trish was also like, yeah, that was rough. But like, these are things, and like things that are just simple plot points in stories that involve like a betrayal or something. I'm stuck on how awful that was, or, and even situations that are necessary. I mean, in fights I've had, or like, I just get really fucked up about having to go through it or having experienced it or having done it. And I'm only recently sort of, teasing is a big one. I'm very sensitive to teasing, which is funny because I tease all the time. And I sometimes wish I didn't, but I also do. This is another thing I was just talking with Trish about this yesterday. Part of my enjoyment of watching British comedians do stuff together, you can see it some with Americans, but British comedians, at least from what you can see, are very good at teasing each other and taking a joke.
Yeah.
they give as good as they get. I just was watching an old episode of QI the other night, and like, there was like, they were really sort of picking on this one woman, and she even was doing bits. She's like, excuse me. But like, she also had to stop finally because she was falling over laughing herself about it. And a lot of that kind of stuff. And that's the world I want to live in. But the problem is, I don't know how to live in that world. And I think I even am closer to knowing it than a lot of people because I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, but I'm going to tease you and you're going to feel bad, or I'm going to tease you. And then later thinking about myself, I feel bad. Even if you didn't feel bad in retrospect, I'm like, that was mean. And the same thing, like, come on, I can take it, give it to me. And then somebody says something, I'm like, no, I can't take that one. I feel terrible now. I want to fucking punch you. Like, I've spent a lot of time. I don't know that it was conscious, but I've spent most of my life being like, yeah, I'm normal and emotionally mature here, and you all are just maniacs for thinking this kind of behavior is okay. And it translates. This is also a thing. I am much more forgiving of strangers than of people I am close to, because I hold people I'm close to higher standards. Like, people are jerks. I can accept that. But you are somebody I know and care about, who I consider to be a smart and nice person. You don't get to be a jerk. And I will come after you if you are. And I will be like pissed about it, and I will call you out, and I will be really hard on you about it. Meanwhile, somebody else does it, and I don't really know them or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, it sucks, but you know, some people are like that. That's their journey. They got to figure it out. I definitely don't approve of what they did, but it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better about that, because that to me seems the opposite of how it should be. If anything, I should have more patience and empathy for those I know and care about. To put a fun button on this, actually. So the other day, I'm in the grocery store, and due to reasons, I'm just now getting out of my COVID thing. I've been negative for a while, but I've been sleeping all the time, and I still have a cough and everything, but just getting better. But so due to reasons, shopping and cooking, I've been kind of fucked up, and I ended up having to go to the store Sunday afternoon, which is a terrible time to go to the store. Everybody in the world is there. And I'm going down the main sort of thoroughfare, and coming out of the aisle is a gentleman in a wheelchair, one leg, very small person. I later, after sort of hearing him more, I'm not sure. I think he might have had some developmental. He was saying a lot of shit to people, whether they were listening or not. And some of it was a little weird and whatever, but whatever. At this point, I just see him, and he comes out, and I stop, and he stops, and he looks at me, and very quickly says, "Come on, sir." Not even in a particularly friendly way, like in a "move it along, we got shit to do." And so I start moving again, fine. And he says, "Come on, sir." And then he says, and I should say, I'm in my linen caftan, and I've got one of those boho headbands that white ladies wear on my hair. And so he says, "Come on, sir." And then there's a beat, and he's like, "Ma'am, whatever." And I found myself feeling all of the feelings about this. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, I did nothing. I just went on. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of sweet in a way, sort of covering the bases or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was also kind of nice in that he bothered to look and make the consideration. I was also kind of offended in a way that I felt he was sort of trivializing me in a weird way. And this is coming from somebody who openly says, "I accept any pronouns," and who is perfectly happy. Like, if you accidentally call me ma'am, I'm fine with that, whatever. And who identifies as non-binary, but something about that, like, I also was like, I was also bothered on some level at the same time. And I was just very confused by, like, how it elicited so many conflicting emotions from an absolute nothing thing. And he and anyone else who witnessed it, I'm sure, has already forgotten about it. And I have talked about it many times. So I don't know. This is just a thing I've been pondering. I think I am, in the sense I described, very sensitive individual. And I don't think it's a good or a bad thing, but I think I am unusually so, and therefore need to adjust accordingly in dealing with the world. I was also one of those kids who would easily start, like, would cry at the drop of a hat. Actually, the youngest next door, I think, is similar.
Interesting.
But then again, there's a lot of ways that I think the youngest next door is like me.
Yeah.
I've stopped making the joke that he's my kid, but mostly because he's a teenager now. He's kind of a shit, so I don't want to claim him anymore, but you know. All right, I was worried because we were done talking about what happened with like a half hour to go, but now we're over time, so it's good.
It was an interesting conversation, though. Very interesting.
I liked it. What conversation, William? We've just been staring at each other for an hour. You're crazy.
Am I even online now?
I have been watching.
I'm just looking at my screen, and My wife's wondering who I'm talking to.
This isn't even a computer. You just propped up two cutting boards. I have been so as we all know, I watch a couple of YouTube channels called Outside Xbox and Outside Extra, which are collectively referred to as Oxboxtra, because why not? Because they're all one group, essentially, and they mostly do video game stuff. They're Brits. I recently started watching old recordings of live streams they did. One of them is very, like, self-admittedly easily scared by things and hates, like, horror games or whatever. So she did a thing. They called it her Academy of Fear, where she would live stream play, like, the famous, like, Resident Evil 7,
right,
Splendor, The Arrival, PT, Amnesia, that kind of thing. These really fucked up ones. And they do it in October, because they do, like, Halloween streams in October of various things. And so they would do this, and I've been watching the old recordings. And what would happen is she'll do this, and then another member of the team will be there in the observation booth. They have a little graphic, and it's but they're safe in there. And there's actually blood splatter on the outside. And it's this whole thing where they're safe in there, and often they don't have the sound on, so they don't get hit by the computers or whatever. And they're there. And sometimes they'll help, like, with a walkthrough or whatever. Sometimes they just laugh at her a lot. Some things like this. And they have little things they'll do sometimes, like some of them. One of them really enjoyed, like, anytime she would walk into a new room, he'd be like, oh no. Or he'd be like, I remember this bit. This bit is bad. Stop it. But one of them recently has taken to, and he's done it so much that actually she recently is like, you have to stop because I'm immune now. He would do things where he'd be like, this is weird. According to the walkthrough, we should be done now. None of this should be in the game. Or like, I've seen 100 playthroughs of that, and I've never seen that happen. Or like, just recently she was starting a new one, and she, like, picked up this bottle and she, like, threw it down and smashed it, and she's like, smash, smash it. And he's like, you broke the bottle. Oh no. Like, so speaking of gaslighting, he's been doing a lot of that. Those are fun. All right, I think we're done here.
I think so.
William died 20 years. That's my favorite kind of gaslighting, is so-and-so died 25 years ago on this very night. I use that for everything. That's a good one. All right. So write the email to us to talk about things. I think, hopefully, something like, I mean, there's two ways you can do this. An episode like this could tell our listeners, fuck it, I don't need to write in. They do entertaining stuff already. I can't believe that's true, but it is possible. I also don't understand why any of you watch or listen to it. But the second way you could look at it is, this was interesting and has inspired me to come up with new things I want them to talk about. So please email us. TheMagicTalkingHat@gmail.com. Also go to the blog, TheMagicTalkingHat.com, and try and gaslight William. I would love that. And William would also love that.
Sure. It's great fun. I'm
doing it right now. Also, if you know more about why Oregon is racist, or if you have feelings about Adam Warlock, have you seen Gaslight? Do you want to see Gaslight? Do you like Angela Lansbury? Do you like Vern Troyer? Do you know who Vern Troyer is? These are important questions.
Are you asking me?
I'm assuming you don't. Vern Troyer is a late actor who was a little person who is best known for being Mini-Me.
Oh, yeah.
In the Austin Powers films.
Yep.
He's done a lot besides that, but that's what he's best known for. Also, go buy my book, Odd Wings, on smashwords.com. Go buy William's books somewhere. Aethertheater.com is a lot of William shit. Yeah, smash that like button. I was just realizing recently, if we ever were successful enough to get monetized, we would be deep. Every single video would be demonetized.
Probably some way.
The swearing alone.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of weird shit now. Like, I've been watching ones recently where at least YouTubers seem to think, like, you can't say the word rape, like, in any context. Like, they'll be talking about a thing, like a story or discussion of it, and they're like, a bad thing that I can't use the word for, because apparently it'll flag some YouTube stuff. Which, I mean, if the alternative is watching guys do screeds about raping women, I suppose I prefer it this way, but in general, I don't enjoy censorship. So, anyway, yeah, but I just recently realized, I was like, even if we were successful, we would make no money on this, because pretty much every video, I at least do something that would get us demonetized, without a doubt.
Oh, well.
All right. Next week we'll be back, so you should also be back. The cast. Whatever, I'll talk to you about it afterwards. I don't want people to know these things.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.